7:13 on the Friday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. Rich Jones, Christine Bellino, and Benjamin Fritkus. We are live at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens right along the Trout River at the Watering Hole. If you've ever stopped here on a nice, warm, and humid afternoon for a cold beer, which looks good, but it is Florida cold this morning. It's 52 degrees right now along the Trout River. But we are here to celebrate Spooktacular and to celebrate the more than 100 acres of beauty that we have here in our own community. And, you know, we heard Curtis, the wildlife wanderer here at the Jacksonville Zoo and Garden, saying earlier, this is our zoo because every time we pay to visit, we are investing in this beautiful piece of property. And it's about more than the animals. In fact, there's a whole team of, what are you calling themselves, plant geeks or something here?
Plant keepers.
Plant keepers. Yeah. So go ahead and introduce yourself from right to left here. What's your name?
I'm Patrick Kelly.
My name is Cheo Rodriguez.
My name is Mira Scanlon.
My name is Alexis Welch.
Well, thank you all for stopping by. What is it that you all do on a daily basis here? And is this your normal hours, or did we get you up early to come out here at 7:14?
So we're here about a half hour early. We normally get here around 7. And the first thing we do on a Friday morning would be to blow the pathway. We have leaves, debris down, candy wrappers lately with Spooktacular. But so Friday and Monday mornings, it's blow the path and then carry on with our day.
And what does the day then look like from that point forward? What are you all involved in?
So depending on the season, we might be planting first thing. Today we're expecting a pretty large plant order for fall. So after this, that's probably what we're going to be doing. Or, you know, if something fell down, we're going to be getting that out of the zoo so people can start funneling in. But we do a lot of different things in the mornings, especially. That's when we're our busiest.
What are you planting this time of the year?
So right now we're doing a lot of mums and marigolds.
Oh, we've got mums in our yard. I love the look of the mums and all the different colors that come up.
It's very
How
festive.
Much sunshine do you need to give a mum?
So mums like a fair amount of sunshine. The most important thing is just when you're watering them, they like to be underwatered.
Underwatered.
Yes.
Can I do a selfless plug real quick?
Please.
So we have a marigolds and monarchs stationed in Range of the Jaguar during Spooktacular. Please come out and see it. There's a lot of marigolds in Range of the Jaguar, and it's a really awesome.
We've worked really hard on it.
Yeah. Is this like your favorite time of the year? Do you have a favorite time of the year?
Springtime for me, for sure.
Yeah, spring as well, yeah.
Why is that?
It's the color. We're constantly working on cleaning out the beds. We're changing out the color spaces. We're changing out the pocket gardens. It's a cool time to see everything bloom and really shine.
Is there a competition, I wonder, like with the animals, where like the zoo and the gardens, where you're like, they're the stars, but like you want the gardens to really be a star? Is there any competition maybe that
no,
goes on?
No, there's no competition at all. It's all, okay. We all get along 100% of the time. No conflicts ever.
Honestly, from somebody who came from education from an animal standpoint and then also having a plant standpoint, it's kind of 50-50, really. There is a lot, obviously, you come here for the animals, but I hear so many people that are like, oh, we love the animals, but we love the plants. We're here for the plants. We love the environment. We love how it makes us feel. Or even like if it's a cold day or a rainy day, we will get people that will come just to see the zoo, not necessarily the animals. They won't ask what the animals are doing, just how are the plants doing? And it's wonderful, especially after storms.
Yeah, and we're a recognized botanical garden as well, so we do have people that come here specifically for the gardens, and it's a beautiful area. You know, people ask us all the time about our gardens, and we're happy to talk about them.
So, to that end, do you have favorite native plants here at the zoo that you love to share and love to talk about? Everybody's shaking their head. Yes.
So, we've been doing a conservation project in cooperation with the Bock Tower down in Lake Wales to survey and collect seeds for Helianthus carnosus, which is the lakeside sunflower or flatwoods sunflower. It's native to Florida. It is blooming right now.
Is it the little one you see on the side of the roads?
You don't see it.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Found in five counties in northeast central Florida, and that's it. Nowhere else in the world. Oh. And so we've been working with them. We collected some seeds just on Wednesday. For propagation back at Bock Tower, and then eventually we're going to establish a population here of those flowers and kind of try to establish some sort of genetic repository here just to, in case, you know, things go south.
Wow.
Yeah. And what are those called again?
Helianthus carnosus, lakeside sunflower.
So it's not the kind of thing where people can go buy them at home and help you guys start the...
No, it's definitely, it's rare, and no, I haven't seen it in nurseries ever. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you're pretty passionate about it because as soon as I said native, you were all like, yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. So,
what other native ones are y'all thinking about and even talking about? When Christine asked that, do you have a favorite native plant that you love? What is it?
Oh, my. Oh, okay. So I like American Beautyberry. I was actually doing a little research for it. I have like a PowerPoint that the employees will see just about plants, just little fun facts. So I looked it up. Apparently the berries you can use for wine or jelly. And then the leaves, if you crush them up, and especially the bark, it can be used for bug repellent as well and help with fevers and malaria.
Cool.
Yeah. One off the top of my head that I love is Mimosa strigulosa. It's like this fabulous ground cover that has these little flowers that look like little puffballs, like straight out of Dr. Seuss. It's fantastic. I got like a little bed going in Primate Forest of it right now. I think it's still blooming. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love it.
That's like asking a person that has children, who's your favorite kid? Yeah. For me, I am a tree and palm guy. So I'm sable palmetto for me. I'm going to go with palms for sure.
I like the mimosa. What's it called? Mimosa
strigulosa.
Mimosa strigulosa.
I almost, because it's a drink. Right. I feel like we could like make a drink out of it. Like you could call it. Oh, that is beautiful. Look at that. Yeah, the mimosa strigulosa. So this is a time of the year where we see a lot of families who come through, maybe who don't visit on a regular basis. So over the course of October, November, December, what sort of things will we be able to see if this might be our first time in a while or first time ever coming to the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens that y'all are proud of over the next several months?
Well, I can take this one. My team works very, very hard. They're constantly changing things out in their areas. They're constantly changing out their containers. Right now is a big change out for us, like Mira was saying, with the marigolds. And we're just trying to kind of center things around that kind of Halloween feel, that Halloween look. So, we're raking things out, pine strawing, making sure everything looks good for the public, and just being centered in the garden.
And maybe a really important part about the gardens part of this is the moment you walk through the door, that's the first impression that you get because the gardens are right there. Right. I mean, you are making the first impression to anyone who's coming through here, no matter what they're here for. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Do you have some autonomy in terms of, I guess I should ask you guys because you probably have all the autonomy, but do you have some autonomy? Like you just said, I started a little bit of it somewhere. Do you pick a spot and say, hey, I really want to put my little... or I think this would look really good here?
We are very lucky. Our manager, Chris, is just an incredible boss. He gives us a lot of agency in what we can do with our gardens. We can come to him with ideas, and unless it's a terrible idea, he will say, yeah, try it, give it a shot, you know, go learn by doing. And I think that's an incredible experience, and we're very lucky to have that.
And do you have to take into consideration things like, okay, well, this is not a native species, so we want to make certain that nothing eats it and spreads it out, or this is an invasive species, and we definitely can't plant this here?
So part of our job is also getting into the animal exhibits and looking for potentially invasive, mainly toxic things that could hurt the animals. That's a big part of our job. We also, our gardens are themed, so... for example, I'm in the Range of the Jaguar area, so most of my plants are from South or Central America to fit that theme, and that's how a lot of our other gardens are as well.
Do you guys all garden at home, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is there something that the average Jacksonville gardener grows in their garden that you wish we didn't? Like you've got...
Mexican petunias?
See, you...
English ivy.
Okay. Why?
English ivy is invasive, and we don't want to push the public. It looks really cool in a container. I get it, but there's so many other things you can use in place of English ivy.
Okay, so no English ivy, everyone.
Grass lawns are a waste of time and money, I think. We should go native in all of our front yards and push our local government to approve that.
I have an aunt who is a big believer in that.
Okay.
Down with monoculture.
Yeah. What would you put in a lawn as opposed to grass?
Yeah, so what's the option that Benjamin just asked that you would put in that's not grass?
Well, we do have Mimosa strigulosa, which is a low crawling ground cover, like Mira was talking about. With its
and you don't have
flowers.
To mow it.
Yeah.
You can mow it, too. If it does get wild, you just set your lawnmower a little higher, go over it, let it reflush out, and then you're done for another 6 months.
Wow.
Perennial peanut, too.
Perennial peanut, yep. I was just about to say that has an edible flower that kind of tastes like a green peanut. So it's a little yellow edible flower. So,
okay, what about like creeping thyme? Is that something that's down here?
Mm. Oh,
heard didn't that. Mean to stump you. Go with the next question.
No, that's all right.
If it's not native, I'm not a big fan of it.
Good answer.
Y'all, thank you for coming to visit. It's 7:23 on the Friday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. Everyone wears a bright, shining face. And so when you come here, and again, that first impression you make is the gardens at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. They see your faces. We want to be able to ask questions. You encourage that, I would imagine. You Absolutely. Want that engagement with everyone who comes through the doors here.
Absolutely. If you see us poking around in the garden, that's our job. Stop us. We would love to talk to you about plants.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And we'll share some of these other videos that we're taking off the air, too, with you on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you all for coming to visit us and especially pulling away from your normal work of the morning and teaching us a little bit along the way. It's 7:24 now on the Friday.